What's going on, everybody? This is episode 10. I think we're in episode 10 now. Episode 10 of the Microsoft Recap. Got your host today, Mike B. Mike Baker here. And as always, with me, got my man, Mike Bennett.
Yo, yo. What's going on, bro? What's going on, man? How y'all doing out there? How you doing, Mike?
Doing all right, man. I cannot complain, man. I don't have nothing to ever complain about. But yeah, man, today we got a couple topics, man. Good couple topics. First topic that we're going to talk about is that maybe Microsoft's Xbox chief. I keep reading these titles weird. First title is Microsoft's, this is like a tongue twister. Maybe Microsoft's Xbox chief didn't say the stupidest thing around about cloud gaming this week. Apparently he must have said some stupid shit about gaming. So we want to talk about that. Next topic that we got is that Microsoft is going to combine its Windows client and hardware teams under Chief Product Officer Panos Panay. That might be a good deal for Microsoft. I've seen him talk about one of his talk about these new products, these Surface Neo, Surface Duos come out, and those his presentation nonetheless was pretty dope. And then the last topic that we want to talk about is Microsoft X Series, which is, I guess, the next gen, Xbox X Series, which is the next version of the Xbox versus the PlayStation 5. Microsoft has one pretty huge advantage over Sony. That's the subtitle. But yeah, let's talk about this first topic, which is that maybe Microsoft's Xbox chief didn't say the stupidest thing about cloud gaming this week. Their chief of, or Xbox chief of marketing, or just the chief of Xbox, the company itself, which is technically a separate division of Microsoft, Phil Spencer. I know if you're a gaming head, a lot of y'all have heard of Phil Spencer. Y'all seen him and whatnot. He basically just like said something that may have been stupid, may have not been stupid, might have been one of those things that's kind of a forward-thinking thought. But he basically was like, he basically said that when you talk about Nintendo and Sony, we have a ton of respect for them, but we see Amazon and Google as our main competitors moving forward. Basically saying that even though for the past 20 years, Microsoft, Xbox has been out since, what, 2000, right?
Yeah, it's been 20 years.
Master Chief, right? But he's saying, like, after that, even though it's been 20 years of him going against Nintendo and Sony, they not even really his competitors anymore. It's two other companies that really haven't had any known history of being in the gaming platform, which is Amazon and Google. Saying that those two are his main competitors now. And I mean, it's one of those things people are saying that that sounds dumb, especially coming from the chief of Xbox. Personally, on the article, you know, there's a perspective on the article, and we're going to give y'all the links to it. But my perspective on it is, yeah, that's a perfect assumption. Like, Nintendo and Sony are, like, you know, they are two great companies, and, you know, they do a lot of great things in the gaming space, and Sony in particular in the entertainment space. You know, they have just gaming and movies and whatnot, but ultimately, like, that's not really what, you know, Microsoft is a technology company, and they sort of goes beyond just creating good content, creating good entertainment. And when it comes to that concept, like, that whole idea of the cloud is basically superseding what gaming is.
Right.
And Amazon and Google, those are the other two competitors of the cloud space. So, like, if he's talking, I mean, if the idea of if gaming has a future, like, Nintendo has no issue with, like, keeping a gaming community. Nintendo's gaming community is probably the largest, one of the most fantastical,
they're the most solid. Yeah,
they the most fanatical about their stuff. Like, Nintendo gamers, they just like, yo, no matter what, I'm getting that Nintendo, that Switch, that Game Boy, whatever.
You'll never find a Zelda on an Xbox, or at least I don't know. Since Nintendo's been alive, you know, things have come to Nintendo, but Nintendo ain't never gone nowhere else.
Yeah, so, you know, exactly.
They base it solid, but yeah.
they got their IP, they got their intellectual property, and right. Can't nobody touch it. And then Mario, Zelda, Metroid.
Yeah, I'm about to say Samus.
Yeah, I mean, like the Super Smash Brothers, Pokemon, all that stuff, man. They basically are the Disney of gaming. Yeah. And like, I mean, they got it locked. They got it locked for real. And I mean, they have their world locked. Like Sony and Microsoft basically have been going back and forth about who is going to be the top dominant when it comes to like the AAA titles. But like, when it comes to those two consoles, you kind of put yourself in a different gamer space. The people tend to consider themselves pro gamers. They consider themselves in the same realm as like a PC gamer, whereas like a Nintendo game is a lot more open to the world. Like a lot more people will pick up and just play a Nintendo game. You have like party games and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, Sony and Microsoft tend to be like those hardcore gamers that got to play with that joystick with like 20 buttons on it.
Yeah.
So like it's a different world. So
it's a gaming pad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the joystick, I mean, I'll be telling people like, if you're not familiar with gaming, like you got to start off playing like Simon or something. Cause like those four buttons, it's like 20 buttons on a joystick on a gamer controller now. Like it's 20. it's crazy for normal people to try to get adapted to it if they haven't just been learning how to play a game in the first place. And Nintendo has that smaller entry point. It's a lot easier for people to pick up a Nintendo game and go.
And then they like you said, the IP, like you're not going to find like the story of, you know, the Zelda story and Mario or something like that. You're not going to, that's like an original experience only that Nintendo can offer. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that where this guy, what's his name? Phil Spencer, where he was coming at is that where a lot of people, so the reason why they even called, I think some people said that it was stupid. Of course, from the servers, they said that, you know, Google and Amazon, you know, I think they said that Google Stadia has been a flop. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that develops into, because I think everybody has like a rough side. I don't know what it was like for Nintendo coming off, but, you know, that was like a new thing. Whenever you're doing something as new as that, you know what I mean? It's always, it can be shaky, but they're writing off Google Stadia as a flop, and they're saying that Amazon hasn't even gotten into doing games yet, but then they're not really, people who made that statement are not giving enough respect to the cloud space, because
pretty much.
You know, the cloud is just like this new thing where, you know, people who have more power and has more like pull when it comes to cloud computing, everything surrounding just like cloud, that type of technology, they have, that's basically it. Because with these other platforms, like with Nintendo, like with your Sony, because they're not really, they're not up on the cloud game like that. There's a whole lot of things that, you know, they haven't been able to capitalize on that Microsoft, because they're an IT company first, they're a technology company first, and they incorporated gaming subset into it. Like, because Nintendo and PlayStation are not up on a game like that, they're missing out on some things. And be it that Amazon and Google have, you know, they've jumped ahead and like have gotten space, more gravitas on something that's going to be futuristic. You know what I mean? Like something that's already making its imprint. So when he made that statement, I didn't take it as that, because I'm looking at it from a business stance. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Look, the people said the same thing about Toys R Us and Value City. Like, Amazon.
Like, the same thing about Netflix.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they ain't going, you know, they ain't going nowhere. They got this.
That's a little channel.
Like,
I mean, like you said, with the cloud, is the main thing with that is, like, I mean, it's when you're talking about the game itself, and then, how do you get a game in the first place? You get a game either on a disc or you download it. If you're downloading it, more than likely you're getting it from the cloud in the first place.
Right.
I mean, at that point, you got to separate, like, similar to decentralized energy, or like how they changed up the communications. You know, you have your supplier and then you have your distributor. I mean, you have the product that you actually get in, and then you got the company that's giving you the product that you're getting. I mean, and with something like Nintendo with all their games, and Sony with all their exclusives, like, you can have that game and be have it in the cloud. It doesn't, you don't have to go to a, that's why I like a GameStop is dying, because you don't, right, people don't buy games as often, yeah, anymore. They used to get ripped off all the time. You go get a game that was like $60, they try to give you $3.22. Like, yeah, like,
right.
GameStop had to go. Yeah, I mean, and yeah. I mean, and
I've seen a meme about that too. I'm sorry, it reminded me of a meme when they said that. It was like GameStop was going out of business, said they're going to go out of business for the next 22 months or something. They said, I'll take all of your stores for
$3.15. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They get what they deserved on that. Right. I mean, because they was definitely trying to make a profit and they was ripping off all the gamers for it. I mean, people over here still wanting to play those games. I mean, they'll sell a game and then 3 weeks later be like, damn, I wish I still had that game. And they done spent their $2.22. Yeah. I mean, like, just bringing the number down every time. I mean, that's just kind of what happens. And like with the things of the cloud is basically just unlimited storage. You just don't have to think about it in that way. And the only thing you're really concerned with is having a good internet connection. And if you got an internet connection and you have whatever games and whatever account up there, then I mean, that's basically, it doesn't matter what console you're using. It doesn't matter what platform you're on. As long as you can get access to it, whether it be a phone or a computer or whatever, you got access to it. And Microsoft is trying to play that game.
I see too. And I so I think this lines up for other stuff, man. Is that I think the reason why Phil Spencer, he's brilliant for bringing that up, is because what people don't know, look at Amazon and Google. We're talking about, we always bring this up, man. Like, they have a lot, like a very big customer base. You mean Google? Yeah. Their power is collecting a whole bunch of data, and they literally sustain their business off of advertising alone, like an offering, yeah, that service, meaning that they have so much data, so many people's data that they're able to like sustain their business, not even off of really selling the product. They sell some stuff here and there, like you pay $2 for like, you know, storage in a year, some stuff like that. But no, they make their money off of. So that goes to show that Google has a whole bunch of people. Same thing with Amazon. Like, for them to be able to take out these different titans in the industries, like, you know, you've seen that your Kate Moss Go, your Value City Go, all that stuff like that. And it's come from what Amazon has done by just the service they provide. Be it that they also, these companies that been able to take other companies out of like business. And they also are in the cloud space. It's like, yo, that's the competition. Because they have, if they pick up gaming, they have all different types of people to market to. All different types of people to, like, Nintendo.
Amazon is already like Twitch. Amazon already owns Twitch, which is like the largest streaming service for gaming. So, I mean, it only makes sense for them to have a gaming platform so that they don't have to rely on like Sony and Xbox. I mean, usually that's what it always boils down to. They'll all start a business and then, you know, they try to see where they don't have to rely on certain companies. So then they try to cut the fat here or there, like Amazon with their shipping service. They were relying on FedEx and UPS until they were able to create their own shipping service. Now they don't need FedEx and UPS anymore. And it's sort of going to be probably the same process. Like,
you know, delivery on Sundays changed the game. Like, who's FedEx and who's
UPS? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, and that was part of it. Like, you got to keep the money flowing. Got to keep the money moving. I mean, Amazon is already the largest platform when it comes to cloud anything right now. You can see that happen. Like, if an Amazon server goes down, if Amazon, like a data center goes down, you can see like Netflix going down, Twitter going down, all these other services going down because Amazon web service went down somewhere. So like Amazon is already pushing as much to everybody in the world as much as possible. And you don't have to directly even use them to know, well, to not to know, but like you don't even have to use them to be affected by their services. So like that's just a given. And Google's playing third place with like cloud right now, but everybody knows that Google is like one of the top leaders with cloud technologies. So like it doesn't even, they just because they don't have like a lot of customer base in their Google Cloud platform doesn't necessarily mean that they're not like a cloud leader when it comes to making things, because it's like damn near 8 to 10 different cloud businesses that they run that are like billion user services. So yeah. Like they definitely are going to be in this business, and they run YouTube, and there's so many people that be streaming gaming on YouTube as well. So yeah, I mean, I could see Amazon and Google being their top competitors. They're their competitors in other ways anyway, so it makes sense for them to just be their competitors in gaming, because they know that Amazon and Google are about to get into gaming. So they're thinking ahead. I'm sure they're not neglecting Nintendo and Sony at all. I'm sure they definitely got their eye on them, but they're definitely looking ahead with Amazon and Google, and it's rightfully so, because they're technically in the same ballpark when you talk about development. Let's go ahead and talk about this next one. This next topic that we got here is about Microsoft to combine its Windows client and hardware teams under Chief Product Officer Panos Panay. This is what they usually have. On the subtitle said it's reorg day, which means basically it's reorganization day. Microsoft always does this year, usually every year, where they're sort of reorganizing their company structure and the actual people that are going to be running certain departments. And in this case, they're talking about how they're doing two things. In fact, they're merging their hardware and their software when it comes to Windows, the client, and the computers that they build, in particular the Surface and those other two that are in the future, the Surface Duo and the Surface Neo. But this guy, Panos is the fact that he's coming in here and taking that position, which is a good look for Microsoft, because if you've seen any of his like presentations as a marketer, you can see that like he has that finesse that people are looking for and a company like Microsoft is looking for when it comes to selling the future of Microsoft products. And you know, he's trying to come up with a new ideology of using technology. Microsoft in general is sort of reorganizing the way that they think about technology and the way that they push that technology out to people. And he will be that guy. Similar, every step that he take give you that feel of a Steve Jobs without being a Steve Jobs ripoff, which is clean. Like,
he's there for a reason, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a clean feel. Like when you listen to him talk, like, I was sold when he showed me that Duo and Neo. He ain't showed me personally, but I seen the presentation that they had on. he came to my house.
He's like, yo, look, we're about to push this out next year.
But they had the Microsoft Insight or whatever keynote conference that they had back in October, and when they showed, he did the presentation for the Neo and the Duo. Which are two new surfaces that are going to be both like dual screen. It's not going to be like the folding screens per se, but it's just going to be a dual sided tablet and a dual sided like phone. And both of them just look clean and they pretty much work clean as possible. And then his presentation of it, when you watch the presentation, if you ever see the presentation, it's very much as clean of a presentation as you're going to get from anybody that's on stage, which is really all about the market and how you approach a product and how you actually sell that product to the audience.
Positioning, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely got that. It's a clean Wolf of Wall Street feel. You know what I mean, without being a Steve Jobs clone, he has a touch of that Steve Jobs vibe with him.
You know what I mean? I think they put the right person in the play, bro. Because I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we have IT, you know, we're in tech now. We come from heavy tech background, and you think about it, bro, we and this in our experiences, a lot of the things we've run into have been trying to pair up the right software and things we use for our development with like hardware capabilities.
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest hiccups, not just like, you know, I guess more on the techie side, one of the biggest things that you would encounter is like trying to figure out, you know, just like what we've done with this, like trying to find the proper setup, right? Like you have you know, you're trying to find the right laptops and the right, you know, all these hardwares to use to you know, pairing it up with the software you want to use. So be it that they are making this move of, you know, putting both of those under the same fold, I think it's just, it's brilliant, because it gives it, especially with Microsoft having the tenure in technology to do it, just gives them more of a better opportunity to, like, not have the hiccups and deliver a better user experience overall. And I like what he was saying down here in pick one of the quotes from the article. It says that, they said we believe that this will make the Windows client experience better for the entire ecosystem. And you're saying that because it says that we're clear on their priorities and deliver the best end user experience from Silicon through operating systems. Basically, I ain't gonna go too much into it, but you're saying that by having those paired together, you're able to have more oversight of the projects that they put in place for hardware and software. So
yeah, I mean, they go on the Apple route. I mean, a lot of that is that's just that Apple route for real. Like, it's all one product. Yeah, I mean, you don't really have to worry about, is it Mac OS X or whatever. You just be like, I got an Apple computer. Like I said, when they did that presentation, they presented all new hardware that they're going to be coming out with. They came out with new laptops and new tablets. I think just the new Surface Pro 3s or whatever. And just straight up, like, the Surfaces along with regular laptops, and like the new laptop that they have. I mean, that thing looks just like it was made in the Apple warehouse. I mean, it's not the same mold and shape, but it's just as clean, and it's all like aluminum and all that stuff. I mean, like, they're trying to get out of that techness of, you know, how PCs used to be in the 90s and the early 2000s, where, you know, you still pay attention to like the memory that you put in there, and you got to worry about the processor and all this stuff, the motherboard and all that. They're trying to separate that and come up with a reinvention of their ideology, which is basically what Apple's original ideology was, which is like, this is a human-centric machine. This isn't even, you really don't even want to consider it a machine. This is just a tool that you use for you. I mean, and the guy, Panay, he has the ability to sell that idea. I mean, he has the ability to push that ideology and say, this isn't a computer. This is a tool to get your job done. Like, this is not really tech. And to get that point across, I mean, it's worth a lot of money if you're talking about trying to keep them fresh in the industry, because, you know, they got competitors. They got Apple on one side, and then they got Google trying to eat all their lunch with these Chromebooks. So, like, they got to push a new agenda. And they feel like going against the Apple agenda is a better idea than trying to just, you know, it's like they put in the Apple hardware, and then all their software does very much resemble Google software right now. So that's one thing. Yeah, I mean, it's like they're trying to be the best of both. They're trying to be Google and Apple at the same time.
They're trying stuff out. They're learning from their competitors. You know, they're modeling. You know, there's something that it's a common business practice where, you know, you're not directly copying. Although some could argue that they call it Microsoft Chrome, you know, the new Edge browser is a direct copy. But, you know, I think it's smart what they're trying to do over there, having Panos Panay lead it, that they're modeling, you know, analyzing what's happened over the past. They're preparing for the tech war, you know, the tech cold war. We talked about it before, that, you know, coming up, this is what they've seen, where their competitors had excelled, and they excelled as well. But to crush the competition, they're going to build, you know, stronger weapons, and not necessarily come directly at them, you know, like a cold war, but just look at what they got. We're going to build something stronger so they respect us more. You know,
I
see the direction. I like the direction.
Yeah. I mean, it's Microsoft. I used them from the beginning. I'm not going anywhere for a while. I mean, I use Google. I use Linux. I'm a heavy Linux user, but when it comes to my home use, it's Microsoft for a lot of things. Next article we're gonna finish this out. Last article, it's kind of eats away at the other article, because the other article kind of eats away at this, because, like we just said, Xbox's main competition is really Amazon and Google now. But this article is talking about how Xbox Series X versus the PlayStation 5 and how Microsoft has one pretty huge advantage over Sony right now. They have a couple huge advantages over Sony right now. I'm a Sony user. I'm a PlayStation user. I like my PlayStation 3, and the PlayStation 3 was kind of iffy for me. I ain't gonna lie. PlayStation 4 was my joint. PlayStation 2 is where I grew up off of. PlayStation right. 1, that was all my dude from jump.
PSX.
Yeah. I mean, like those was where it was at for real originally, and like. The future of Sony is definitely in battles right now. Like, I see Sony leaking out little tidbits of information about their PlayStation 5, but they definitely are like they're plotting, and they're not letting anybody know what's going on until they ready to release, and they're doing it in a clean way, similar to like an Apple or not. Like they're holding everything in until they really got the right moment to actually let it all be told. And it's one of those things because Microsoft does have this advantage of, you know, being a technology company beyond gaming and beyond entertainment. They have the cloud, they have the X Cloud, they have Microsoft Azure, and then they have X Cloud, which is technically a software platform that's built on top of Azure. It's one of those things where like they have the Windows platform and everything. They sort of just surrounding Microsoft is surrounding PlayStation all around. It's just one of those things.
They're planting seeds and all these other like things outside of just gaming that's really like going to help them like flourish and be so much more stronger in the gaming industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason why I agree with this statement, bro, like when they're saying that basically the Series X is going to have a couple of advantages. Like you said, it's a couple of advantages. One of those, man, that I actually see, and I'm sitting here thinking about it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. This goes to anybody out there that's listening, correct me if I'm wrong, man. But I've noticed that, just like we were talking before, like just a couple of minutes ago about how Microsoft is like kind of modeling what these other companies are doing. Over the course of the past 20 years, I can clearly point out several titles that were like exclusive to Microsoft that really like had the game on Smash. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, like, like even in an article, right? Like that we go on, they have a picture of Master Chief. Like that whole that Halo 1-2-3 like experience, like there was like exclusive for the Xbox is something that really put them like that really.
That was definitely their chance.
They carved their name in the pavement and the cement with that one. Like you really knew who my, and there's several others, but you got your Gears of War. Before that, I mean, the series kind of flopped now, but it was strong then. Mass Effect. So it seemed I'm getting is that it seemed
Mass Effect went cross platform.
Originally,
it was Xbox,
but then I guess the company it tried to scrape dollars from other places. But what I'm getting at is I feel that Microsoft and its conglomerate, I think that they have been watching a little bit of what Nintendo has done and trying to find a way to model that as much as possible. Like, and I think within this past generation, I don't think it was that strong, but coming into the new year, I think that that's a route that they could be going. It's like looking at how much exclusivity they can get on their platform. Because that's it. They also leaks over into the whole, like, I guess the Xbox game. What is it? The Xbox Gaming Pass is that they have so many
games offer
that can be just exclusive to the Xbox experience, that they have more more power and have more season, like with being successful in that realm, that puts them definitely ahead. Like it's gonna make it a fight for PlayStation.
Yeah, the Xbox Gaming Pass, I think that is really like it's the first step for xCloud. Like xCloud is the whole cloud gaming thing, even though it's here and people can use it, like it's still early. It's still like a beta age. I really don't think that's going to be a main thing until at least 2022, 2023. You know, technology is fast to adapt, but like, it can't just jump in and just take over. It's one of those things where it has to grow in a business model and all of these other things. And in the meantime, the gaming pass is like the shortstop step for real, because, you know, you already have the store. And the Game Pass is really a model of what they did with the mobile platforms, with iOS and with Android. They came out with these gaming passes, well, with app passes. Apple came out with like a gaming pass, where they call it, it's basically Apple Arcade, where you basically can download any game that's in the App Store. And to rival that, Google had came out with some type of app pass, where they just said a whole bunch of selected apps you can download at any free cost, and for real. And it's the same model as this. I mean, they're trying to do the Netflix model. It's the all you can eat a la carte buffet model, where, you know, you just subscribe and then you get whatever's available. And that's the shortstop step before cloud gaming can take over, where everything is streamable. Right now, with this Game Pass, it still kind of feels like Netflix when you used to buy DVDs, when you would rent DVDs, when like you would order a DVD and it gets shipped to your house. I mean, where the Game Pass is like, you know, you get the game, but you still got to download it.
right.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to download it, but the xCloud is going to be the turnover with Netflix, when Netflix just became all streaming. And it's going to be the same thing with xCloud, where it's going to just be like, all right, you just got the game, just press play and you start it. And like, that's that crossover is already there. It's what I like for the gaming pass is that it's going to push Nintendo into coming up with some type of strategy, because they have the PlayStation Now, which is a streaming game service, but they don't have a subscription model for the PlayStation Plus, where you can get all you can eat. And that's what they kind of need to be able to compete, because Microsoft is at, they had the point of giving away Xboxes. Like, they out there saying, all right, you sign up with Game Pass and get that Game Pass Ultimate Pass, and we'll give you an Xbox. And you can just download these games when you get them. Like, you used to buy a game for a console for $400. Now you're just going to give it to me with a subscription? All right, that's a deal. I don't even care if I was a fan of PlayStation or not. That's a deal.
No, you can't. Yeah, it's just the sheer like cost versus like the over. Like, yeah, man.
Yeah, you're like, all right, for $20 I don't even know how much it is, but $25, $30. All right, right. You going to just give me an Xbox? All right, I'm doing this. Cool. Like, no matter what, that's just what it is going to be. But like,
the reason why that's brilliant too is, like, from a business standpoint, like, more so like to kind of looking at it from like a like an entrepreneurship business perspective, is that be it that Microsoft has the stronger opportunity for like continuity, meaning that what people would pay on a month-to-month basis, they have more mass and probably can demand more dollars, is that they have a constant flow of income, like revenue is being generated, it can be reinvested to make stuff like bigger even happen. So the fact that they have that in place already coming to this decade means that PlayStation may have to do some tricks and flips and do some other stuff to make it happen, because their constant flow is going to not only be like stronger, but then they can demand a higher price because of that too.
Yeah, and that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to see, because they got so many people trying to come at their lunch at so many angles, and right now they happen to be the top spot when it comes to gaming. Even though Nintendo got its own dedicated fan base, PlayStation is the top selling console out there, and there's a lot of people looking to eat that lunch, and they'll strip Sony down to the bare nothing and then buy them out
to the gristle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying this now, it's likely to happen. It's likely to happen, because Sony ain't playing with people right now, and that's not you. You want to partner with people right now, and they not partnering with the right people. Like, the latest thing that they talked about was how PlayStation Now was going to be partnering with Microsoft XCloud. Like, you partner with your competition, I mean, you basically about to sell. Yeah, I mean, so like this is kind of a hard thing to it's kind of a hard thing to see because when you're a fanboy of Sony and shit, but like
I'm fanboy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like that's what I'm saying. I got my PlayStation out of the room, kind of pissed, but like I'm seeing the writing on the wall, and like I'm a fan, and like I'm an early adopter of technology, so I see the stuff a little bit earlier than the general base of PlayStation fans. I mean, that's just like I'm just a gamer, and they're not really looking at the industry. But right now, Sony is they keeping their mouth quiet on what they got planned, and they'll let it be known when they let it be known. Like I think it's gonna happen at the E3 conference, but who knows? I mean, they might come out and don't nobody like anything they got to hear. Yeah, I mean, if they whatever they got to say, people might not like it. So we'll see.
I think that what could advance, this almost seems trivial in the sense of what we've been talking about, what I'm about to say, as far as how Microsoft and these other companies position themselves with like the technologies of the cloud and all that. But I think at its core, if PlayStation does an excellent job delivering like gaming experiences that's exclusive to PlayStation, that's like groundbreaking, and market them properly, that could get, because it's gaming at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Of course you have your ways to get to it, but then you have things where regardless, you have a fan base where regardless of how you deliver it, because of their loyalty to that, to, you know, you, as well as like their buy-in with your product, they'll go to those lengths in order to get it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's like Nintendo. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I want to see what they do, because that's why they keeping it under wraps, and I want to see what they got to say, because I mean that's the Nintendo route. There's only things that can only be done on Nintendo in the first place,
right?
I mean, so like the way that their controllers are set up and everything, like you can only do certain things on a Nintendo, and that's probably going to be a similar thing that they start doing with PlayStation. Is like, yeah, everybody else got the general base games, but it's just some games that you only gonna be able to do on a PlayStation.
Straight up.
And that's what I want to see what they plot on in the next couple of years, in the next 6 months, as they release, you know, more information about the PlayStation 5, and then as you know, as it's actually comes out and people start using it. Mm. But yeah, man, that's all I wanted to say about that. There's a lot of topics on here. We can only get to so many at a time. We could be talking about this stuff for hours. If y'all like this show, y'all need to go ahead and do the damn thing. Go ahead and go to like the YouTubes and the Twitters and not Twitter. I still don't like Twitter. I mean, I like it for other reasons, but not for marketing purposes. Not for marketing. But go ahead, you hit the Facebook, hit the YouTube, on the podcast purposes. You know, we're on all the things. We're on the Spotify, we're on the YouTube, you're on the Google Music, iTunes, all those things. Just Google us, you'll find us. More information coming up. More people. We got a couple people that are going to be on guest show in the next couple of weeks. I just got to schedule them. I keep forgetting the schedule. Yeah. But yeah, man, you got anything to say on there?
Nah, man. I mean, you said everything. You hit the nail on the head, Mike. You can find us on all the social medias and all the podcasts, primarily, man. Your Twitches, your Google Music, you know, Apple Podcasts, man. We there, so just Google us. You know, it's funny to say that, right? You can Google us for Apple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, you know what I mean? But yeah, like Mike said, man, and just leave a comment below. Make sure you follow us, put the alerts up, man, to see what we got going on, and we got some hot shit coming your way, pretty much.
Yeah, take it easy, people.
All right, man, y'all take care. Peace.
Peace.